Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Have you decided you're definitely going to send National Guard troops to Chicago?
I didn't say when, but the answer is, look, Chicago's very interesting because I watched Pritzker get up and say about, we don't need help, we're safe. But 2 weeks ago, they had six people murdered, and they had 24 people hit by bullets. Last week, as you know, it was 24 people hit, and seven people died.
So there were two big subjects of conversation in the press conference yesterday. One, of course, the main reason for the announcement or for the presser was to announce that Space Force was going to be, the command was going to be relocating to Huntsville, the original site that it had been selected for, and then it got moved by Biden for what I think you can only explain as political reasons and is now being moved back for what are both practical national security and also political reasons. More on that in just a moment. But the other conversation, of course, was the pending use of National Guard to enhance law enforcement inside cities where it's not federal oversight. It is federal oversight in D.C., so it's at least arguably justified. Use in California was ruled unjustified, although the judge didn't say he had to get rid of the 300 that were there right now. Kind of a weird ruling, weird mixed bag. Like, you know, you were wrong to send them in, but they can stay now that they're there. What? That's odd. Okay, but now Chicago, right? We've been talking about this all morning a little bit, jokingly, but he's serious about this and, you know, could be any moment.
And then over the last 2 days, it was the crown jewel. They had, I guess, nine or 10 killed, and 50 hit with bullets. And you have this governor get up, who's a terrible governor. Probably he and Gavin Newsom would be probably the two worst and most naive. They're naive. Either they're naive or they're very untruthful. And he'll say, we don't want any protection. We don't need. So in the last 3 weeks, he's lost almost 20 people killed. There's no place in the world, including you can go to Afghanistan, you can go to places that you would think of. They don't even come close to this. Chicago is a hellhole right now. Baltimore is a hellhole right now.
And as I've said before, I think it's probably illegal. I don't think it's justified legally, constitutionally. But if I were the governor and I saw what happened in D.C., I'd be like, well, please, you know, in which case it becomes legal if the governor invites them. It's the issue of going against the local political leaders, which makes it problematic, right?
Mind up on Chicago, though?
Well, we're going in. I didn't say when we're going in. When you lose, look, I have an obligation. This isn't a political thing. I have an obligation when we lose, when 20 people are killed over the last 2.5 weeks and 75 are shot with bullets.
We got to do something is his argument. And again, look at what happened in D.C., which people were yelling and kicking and screaming about, including the mayor. And now they've turned around because.
So let me tell you a little story about a place called D.C., District of Columbia, right here where we are. It's now a safe zone. We have no crime. It's in such great shape. You can go and actually walk with your children, your wife, your husband. You can walk right down the middle of the street. You're not going to be shot, Peter. You're safe. Everyone likes you anyway. They probably wouldn't do it. But it's so dangerous. And
it's not actually a safe zone. It's not no crime whatsoever. But it is dramatically down. You can't argue. It's dramatically down.
Washington, D.C. is a safe zone right now. It's a safe city. The restaurants are open. They're booming. You can't get a restaurant. New restaurants are announcing that they're going to be open. This took place in 12 days. Now it's 15 days, but 3 days ago it became what's known as a safe zone. It's a safe city. And this city was really bad.
And he even, I thought this was actually kind of an entertaining anecdote about how the crime drop in D.C. was so dramatic.
Every week, you know, it was like years, many years, where every single week somebody was killed for many, many, many consecutive weeks. This went on for years. And then we had last week it was announced that nobody was killed last week And I made that announcement in front of a very distinguished leader of a country. And I'm saying proudly, ladies and gentlemen, nobody was killed in Washington, D.C. this week. He looked at me like, what's that all about? I say, yeah, we have a little bit of a crime problem, and we don't have a crime problem in Washington anymore.
Which it's kind of like I used to always have this idea of reverse news. Reverse news is when you tell the general truth. You know, yesterday in America, 24,318 planes took off and landed safely. And that's your day in reverse news. You know, because it's always the this plane or that car crash or this school shooting. You know, there's 135,000 schools in the U.S. You know, and it's like if one day you came on the air and I just said, yesterday in America, 134,000 schools had no safety incident. Thank you. This is the news. You know, like it's because, but that's the general truth against which other things happen. So when he says, you know, last week in D.C., nobody died, like that's, or nobody was killed. Well, that's, you know, I mean, it shouldn't be reverse news, but it should be something you mention more often. And he says, look, as far as Chicago goes, I'm proud of what we happened, you know, what we did in D.C. And if Pritzker wants to reverse himself, I'm here.
Very proud of Washington. It serves as a template, and we're going to do it elsewhere. But Chicago is certainly going to be high. I would love to have him call. I would love the governor of Illinois. I'd be honored to take his call. All he has to do is say, sir, we need help. It's out of control. And everyone knows it is. He's not kidding anyone.
So it seems obvious that he is, in fact, planning on using the National Guard to enhance law enforcement in, you know, Chicago as a presence. We'll see more on this in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
South Navy Boulevard, as you're headed to the base this morning, is backed up to Vancouver Street. Traffic also running a little bit heavy, US 98 by the Naval Live Oaks area, just before the Pensacola Beach Causeway. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So here's, I'm always trying to figure out Trump because he is, I mean, he's an unusual dude. And to really put words around the things that I observe or the ideas or the feelings, whatever. And one of the ones that I have become more and more confident about as an analytical device to understand Trump is Trump only cares about the results. He does not care about the methods. Methods are a tool for producing results. It makes him a pragmatist. And I mean, he might not be 100% pragmatist, but I think he's pretty close to 100% a pragmatist. Because in his mind, here's a problem, and here's how you solve it. And whether it's legal or constitutional or fits with the principles of the habit of our traditions of our democracy, none of that matters to him. The only question is, how do we solve that problem? And so, you know, this is true for getting rid of illegal immigrants. This is true for solving the problem of crime in our major cities. This is whatever problem he sees. You know, it would drive people nuts when you're talking about, you know, NATO. We just won't fund NATO anymore if you won't spend your proper amount of money. What? Now, I think that was well-founded, well-thought-out, and has worked extraordinarily well, but it was entirely at odds with the history of how we deal with NATO. It was a reversal of our entire foreign policy, and that's what so unsettled our allies. But, you know, they needed to be unsettled. It's justified. You know, for President Trump, I think there really is no concern about methods, the ethics of methods. And I taught ethics for a long time, and I'll tell you that, you know, in ethics, we care both about ends and about means. And I had a good conversation with a friend about this recently who, you know, he's worried that it's all about ends for people in America these days. We'll accept any end that works. And look, if you violate the Posse Comitatus Act and you deploy National Guard to a city against the wishes of their political leaders and it reduces crime, it's going to be really hard to stand up and say, yeah, but he shouldn't have done it. Because if it saves lives, reduces crime, makes life safer, people can walk around the streets of South Side of Chicago all the time, it's going to be really hard to say, but that's still not an allowable method. Well, it's not an allowable method. But if he does it and it works, are people going to care? But I think that's Trump's way. You know, it's the same thing for like the relocation to Huntsville. Okay? He clearly, this is clearly justified. This is what all of the original, like, studying the problem of where it should go. Huntsville makes all the sense in the world. And they talked about this extensively yesterday. And I thought, actually, Mike Rogers, who's the he's an Alabama representative, he's the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and he explained the history.
Listen, I, as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, I care very much about what's most important for our national security. And the president held a nationwide competition to determine where we should have this command. If y'all remember, at the end of that competition, where Alabama came in first, there was a lot of complaints from the other states who did not place well. He said, we'll do it over with new criteria to accommodate your concerns. Alabama came in first in that second competition. His Secretary of the Air Force reviewed the results, said it was fair, and the president named Huntsville. It was the Biden administration that decided to make it political, even though his own Secretary of the Air Force said it was a fair competition and it should be in Huntsville.
Right. Biden moved it for what seemed like obvious political reasons, not to be in Alabama, Trump land, but to be in Colorado, Biden land, to benefit Colorado and to adversely affect Alabama, even though none of the actual reasons made sense for that. So Trump is coming in and reversing that. All on its own, perfectly justified decision. No problem. But what does Trump say yesterday? Well, it's not really about that. For him, he says the issue really isn't about that. It's
I will say I want to thank Colorado. The problem I have with Colorado, one of the big problems, they do mail-in voting. They went to all mail-in voting. So they have automatically crooked elections. And we can't have that. When a state is for mail-in voting, that means they want dishonest elections, because that's what that means. So that played a big factor also.
It has nothing to do with what should be the basis of this decision. His opposition to mail-in voting, which is not his right to control as the president. Congress arguably has power to do this under the Constitution. States historically have decided how to make voting work. States have, all states have some kind of mail-in voting. Some of the Western states like Oregon, Washington, Colorado have, you know, 100% mail-in voting. And he hates that. And this is a message that, look, if you don't do what I want on mail-in voting, I'm going to punish you by removing military commands from your area. This is clearly a threat to get people to do what he wants them to do. Is he within his purview to move military missions? Of course. He's the commander-in-chief. Is this one justified? Of course. It was always supposed to be Huntsville from the beginning. It's political versus a political decision anyway. Okay, fine. But he goes beyond that and says, you know, while we're here, let's remind people that this can happen to you too if you keep doing this 100% mail-in voting. I mean, it's clearly a threat. So there's no recognition of the means, of the ethics of means for him. He just wants to get an end result, and he'll use the lever of power of moving Space Command to, you know, teach him a lesson. Which, of course, you would scream bloody murder if another president, let's say a Democrat, punished Florida for not being pro-LGBT enough or restricting books in lower or higher education or requiring some kind of disposition towards people who are here illegally. Pick your topic, okay? And decided to move the Blue Angels somewhere else as punishment. You would scream about that being inappropriate. And you'd be right to. Because that's not how this stuff should be decided. But again, for Trump, I think there's no consideration of the ethics of means. If somebody is on his side, they're a genius. If somebody is opposed to him, they're the worst loony, liberal, crazy Democrat. They're nut job ever. And then when they switch, they're fine. They're fantastic. They're wonderful. For him, there's no ethics of means. It's purely pragmatic. It's achieved the end result. As an ethicist, I find this horrible. And the one way that I usually talk myself into sort of accepting the things that Trump does is because, generally speaking, he's trying to do the things that I like, but that makes me accept the ethics of ends instead of the ethics of means, too, right? That's the same problem. You can't accept the guy who ignores the ethics of means as a way of getting what you want done. You have to be consistent. Otherwise, you're a hypocrite when you talk about the means matter, the rules matter, the Constitution matters, the principles of the traditions of our democracy matter. So the Huntsville decision is the right one for the wrong reasons. Going into Chicago might wind up working. Still illegal. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you in a situation where you need a miracle? You need God to do something that seems impossible? The Bible explains that without God, we can do nothing, but with Him, all things are possible. In Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and explains that, and I quote, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." He's speaking in the context of a virgin conception. If God can bring about the miracle of a biological impossibility, don't you think He can solve your problems? In Jeremiah 33:3, God challenges those who need a miracle when He says this, and I quote, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I urge you, call upon Him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tickets to Florida State home games?
Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app.
Tap that app
to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I can fly.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
You can't.
Can't. I tell you, I could fly around this room with my eyes closed.
Okay, then, Mr. Lightbeer, prove it.
All right, then I will.
Mr. Lightbeer. 727 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. PJ has got traffic for us. PJ?
South Navy Boulevard, as you headed to the base this morning, is now backed up to Sunset Avenue. Traffic is also running a little bit heavy. US 98 by the Naval Live Oaks area, just by the Pensacola Beach Causeway. And finally, some debris in the roadway, Pensacola Boulevard at West 9.5 Mile Road. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I was talking about sports. The rankings and the football came out yesterday, finally. And, you know, the one thing I failed to mention, thank you for somebody texting me to remind me of this, is UWF in the Division II poll, coaches poll, has moved up from number 8 to number 6 with their big win over Lenoir Rhyne. Easy win over Lenoir Rhyne. If you are thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars, 300 or so on the lot. These are ones that have been driven by probably one person. You know, maybe two people, maybe two owners, but they're typically going to have between 10 and 40,000 miles. They're going to have one to maybe 3-4 years, something like that on them. They're going to warranty it to 10 years or 100,000 miles because they're only going to sell you good quality cars. That's all they do. They sell good quality cars, cars you can count on, cars that are not new but are like new. And in one place, you can sample and compare a whole bunch of different ones. You want to try five different sedans or five different minivans or, you know, six different trucks and a Jeep. You know, you can do all of that in one place without having to go all around town. And, you know, if you're by your fourth car, you're kind of forgetting what that first one was like. You can look at that one again and you can see them right side by side and remember. And it's very easy to do. Plus, they understand nobody wants to be buying a car. And so they make it as easy as possible. Low pressure, easy, you know, Do or don't buy. Send us to look for a different one. We go look for cars all the time for people. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Secretary of State Marco Rubio will be in Mexico and Ecuador this week to discuss cartels and immigration. The State Department says Rubio is expected to meet with Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum today to discuss a new security agreement that would fight the flow of weapons and fentanyl across the border. The man suspected of New York's Gilgo Beach serial killings is in court today. A judge expected to rule whether the use of new DNA techniques can be used against 59-year-old Rex Huerman. He's accused of murdering at least seven women. And a federal judge is allowing Google to keep its Chrome browser. Tuesday's ruling stems from a landmark case filed in 2020 alleging that Google kept its share of the general search market by creating strong barriers to entry. The ruling says Google can keep Chrome, but that they have to share search data.
Can you imagine what Google's dominance of the market would be if it came installed on every PC?
Oh, wow.
I mean,
it'd be incredible.
Think how hard Microsoft has fought to keep whatever newest terrible version of their browser they have. Because you know the number one search on Explorer is how to download Chrome.
Right.
What if Chrome came installed on the computers? Would Explorer even or Edge or what Bing or whatever the Chrome is, would it even exist? Anyway, DC Reed is up next.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Another head of state visits the White House.
Later on this morning, President Trump will host the newly sworn-in Polish president to talk about Polish security concerns. They are, of course, positioned on NATO's eastern flank as the war rages on in Ukraine.
Fox's Jackie Harnick of the White House. A huge military parade today in China. The invitation-only event brings together China's leader Xi Jinping, the Russian President Putin, and North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un. President Trump of Truth Social writes, "Please give my warmest regards to Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un. Are you conspiring against the United States of America?" Lorena strengthens to a Category 1 hurricane moving toward Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. That from the National Hurricane Center. Max wind 75 miles an hour right now. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 63 and sunny. We'll get to our forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, the green crosswalks and Gulf Breeze have been removed. This is after the city received a letter from FDOT mandating that non-compliant crosswalks be changed.
What has changed is that the state has said that the traffic green is determined to be no longer safe. But yet at the same time, we're talking to our sister cities and counties, and the Department of Transportation is continuing to use that green paint on state networks. That's where you see that green in Pensacola heading to 110. That's to let the motorists know you're sharing this roadway with bicycles.
And City Manager Sam Abel there, she says that as far as they know, the green was actually not out of regulation, but they went ahead with the repainting project. It cost them $1,000 per crosswalk. And the city did that to maintain budget appropriations. Well, we are learning about a new trend on social media that could result in kids being arrested, possibly even hurt. The challenge involves kids kicking doors to scare the people inside. In some cases, wearing masks, even carrying fake guns.
This door kick is not a challenge. That's an invitation to tragedy. I think that that is a terrible thing to do, a terrible game, and I think that it might be reasonable, in considering some of the circumstances involved, to think that if someone's trying to kick your door in, that they're a threat. And again, in many cases like this, in fact, all cases like this, I would consider the use of force, to include deadly force, to be reasonable.
And Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says parents need to talk with their kids, let them know if they participate in that type of social media challenge, they will be arrested. And that is if they survive. Well, eight insurance companies being fined for how they handled claims after Hurricanes Ian and Idalia. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation yesterday announcing that the companies were fined more than $2 million combined for misconduct. And those fines do range from $150,000 up to $400,000. The three companies fined the most: American Coastal, American Mobile, and Clear Blue. OIR Commissioner Mike Jaworski says more fines are possible and the investigations continue. Well, a North Carolina man is behind bars in Volusia County. The sheriff there calling him a scumbag fraud artist. That's how Sheriff Mike Chitwood described Corey Ray Woodall yesterday. Woodall's accused of scamming a 70-year-old woman out of $30,000. He allegedly tricked her through email into sending him money to help a wounded military dog. Chitwood says Woodall used the money to buy a car, a mower, and a trailer. He's charged with organized scheme to defraud and grand theft. 735 here at News Radio, 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, PJ.
Good morning, David. South Navy Boulevard headed to the base this morning is now backed up to about Bayou Grande Lane. Traffic also running a little bit heavy. U.S. 98 by the Naval Live Oaks area, just by the Pensacola Beach Causeway. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful, mostly sunny day today. 10% chance of a stray sprinkle, otherwise sunny skies, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 73. We are going to keep a small 10% chance of rain on that Thursday. Same on Friday with mostly sunny skies, otherwise high near 90. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. Sunny in 63. Degrees. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. As rising living costs and global economic uncertainty continue to strain many financially, some experts have found that moving overseas can be easier on the wallet. Expat Insider data says that for the fifth consecutive year, Vietnam is the most affordable country in the world. PwC reports holiday spending by U.S. consumers is projected to drop 5% year over year. The sharpest drop is expected among Generation Z, which plans to spend on average 23% less than the year-ago holiday season. Experts say tariffs have heightened consumers' awareness of rising prices, and retailers are missing the mark with younger shoppers. The Powerball jackpot has climbed to an estimated $1.3 billion after no one hit the top prize in Monday night's drawing. Players will get another shot tonight. At this size, it's the fifth largest jackpot in Powerball history. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials were down 249. That's your money now.
At Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately. Insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job they said they would. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10. Quality Roofing Solutions will be here to answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State take on East Texas A&M on Saturday, September 6th? Tap the app with News Radio 92.3. Just download our News Radio Pensacola app, and Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m., tap that app for your chance to win. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Beautiful day out, at least so far. Looking forward to it. I know it was nice yesterday. It was nice enough to be doing some yard work, which, you know, in the summer, in the middle of the day in Pensacola, I'll take it. Mayor D.C. Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola, joins us every Wednesday this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Before we get to particular issues, let's start with what I guess is the hot news of the day. Ann Hill, former city councilwoman who lost her reelection bid against Allison Patton, is now declared herself pre-filed to run for mayor against you. Before we get to that particular question, I have an even prior question, which is, are you running for mayor again? Because I don't think you've officially said.
Yeah, we obviously you know, this has been, you know, the honor of my life to be able to do this for my hometown where I'm from, and to be able to try to have a positive impact on our community. And you know, with that comes lots of sacrifice personally, but more so lots of sacrifice family-wise and all of that. And so, you know, we have a process for this. You know, I think I'm on record saying I really do believe this is, you know, at least an 8-year job if you really want to start initiatives and then really see them through. So, we haven't made, you know, a final decision, obviously, or we would have pre-filed, but, you know, I think it's an 8-year job but you know, that doesn't mean that we mitigate those conversations, with our family and making sure that, you know, this is the right thing. So we have a process, we have a strategy to this in terms of, you know, how we want to discuss it and how we want to, you know, formalize when we think the right time is to get into the race. I guess to answer your question, we're certainly trending that way. But we haven't made that decision yet.
All right. So yes, but not yet. I got you. Which is fine. I respect that. Certainly some challenger of pre-files does not mean you have to make your decision or announce it, the next morning on the radio. So I appreciate that. I know it's a long thing and you're not even running yet officially for reelection, but, you know, any thoughts on the platform that Ann has laid out? We're going to talk to her at 7:20 at 8:20 this morning. We talked about it quite a bit at 6:30. She leads with parking. She wants free parking downtown, which is, I think, is probably,
right.
I
think this is a vitally important job to the success of our city. It is expected that, you know, this is going to rarely ever be an unopposed race. I think it's a job that lots of people are qualified for, believe they're qualified for. I would never rent if we file and when we file, I would never expect that this would be some unopposed race. And, you know, I think that's good for the city to have conversations about how things are going. And all that. So, no, I don't have, I haven't looked nor really plan on responding to anything, you know, a year out when we haven't even filed ourselves. But again, I certainly respect the process and it is fully expected that we would have, people running if we are going to go as a reelect. So we'll see how things play out. Long way to go here. And really, if I'm doing duty to our citizens, I got to spend less time worrying about platforms from others a year out, and we got two important things moving right now.
Yeah, I thought it actually. I mean, I expect Charles Baer is going to be running. We had a texter earlier who said that they want Eldon Scott, who is the kind of like the taste and fun ambassador for Sonny's, that he he should run. And you know, you might have trouble beating Eldon. Eldon's very popular. I mean, he brings
platform,
the meat. He brings the good meat. All right,
that's right. Exactly. So, that's going to be tough to beat.
Studio 850, John Singley, who's always just really good work, talked about the question you got asked at the town hall with Chief Brown basically, I guess she was asked, whoever was asked, about the use of the surveillance cameras that have been authorized in most every county and or municipality in the panhandle. You know, recently Gulf Breeze added them. These are the plate readers that can tell you the make, right, the model. They can, you can plug information in, you can find bad guys. I mean, they're extremely useful. Also concerns about private privacy, and also a question about whether this is something that can be done without coming to city council. Your thoughts, responses?
Well, first of all, public safety should always be the number one focus of my job, and always is. And so we believe that having license plate readers and having that enhanced level of safety for us to be able to have more eyes on the street as we have criminals or people fleeing the police, evading the police, hiding from the police, that we're able to improve our outcomes of finding them. And I think certainly the sheriff agrees with that. And the question came up, well, is it controversial in other states? Well, ShotSpotter is controversial in other states. I think if you look at the political leanings if you go to the Chicago area, I believe they banned ShotSpotter because they thought it was racially divisive, yeah. Which is kind of surprising when you think about what color skin does it matter that you have if you're shooting a gun illegally. It really shouldn't make any difference at all.
And you can just as easily make the claim that you are doing something to protect minority people who are most often the victims of violent crime. So it can be run that it's racist to not have ShotSpotter.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, in this city, public safety is number one. And if we can improve outcomes in public safety, as Chief Brown shared, that the fact that we had a missing child case, an open case that was solved because of license plate readers, then we're going to go with what we believe gives everybody here the best outcome. And again, I mean, we could go in for, as you know, probably have spent an hour on previous Supreme Court precedent that on expectations of privacy in public, all of those types of things. But if the worst counterbalance, if I can improve public safety outcomes, keep our citizens safer, and the only counterbalance to that is, well, what if someone sees my license plate when I'm on the way to the mall? If that's the worst situation that we have counterbalancing improved public safety, then I think we're doing the right thing.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash west of Troy Boulevard at Duran. They're saying the roadway is clear. I-10 right near Pine Forest as you're headed eastbound. That is moving slowly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. One quick follow-up on the license plate readers. And it's kind of the question I had first asked, which is that a decision that needed to go to city council? Do you plan to bring it to city council? Am I dumb and I didn't see that it already did go to city council?
I would defer that to our city attorney on, as we always do. If it's something that is required to bring to council, we certainly would do that. And if it's something that isn't required to go to council, then we won't. So we don't pick and choose battles with that subjectively. We follow the charter and follow the rules. We always go on the advice of our city attorney. And let me have one other follow. I think it's important on the surveillance side as well. When you go to Chick-fil-A today, I just want to tell you, they have cameras too. So if you have this expectation of privacy, there's plenty of, and you're concerned about the government's ability to have an expectation of privacy, I would also follow by saying every restaurant, every grocery store, everywhere you go to, every bar, every restaurant has cameras, and you don't know what they're doing with that footage. Certainly, they're not under the same rules as the government. So this idea that this is something foreign or an outlier for us to be able to keep our city safer, to me, just really doesn't add up.
Well, not to prolong the conversation, but there is this longstanding suspicion of the worries of becoming a police state, right? That it's one thing to have private individuals who have Ring doorbell cameras. Yes, that definitely does change the nature of our society. But having police with a widespread network of interconnected cameras, which you can use to search for particular license plates, which certainly runs the risk, if not the practical effect, of being abused by people, it is a different kind of thing, and it's not quite the same as just having, all of these thousands of different private individuals with their disconnected cameras, even though they can be turned over to law enforcement. If every Chick-fil-A and Publix was connected to the real-time crime center, I'd be concerned about that, frankly.
Well, understand the expectation of privacy. I don't know how the standard would be any different from the 80s and 90s when a police officer a highway patrolman can also run your tag anytime without you knowing, sitting in a parking lot. This is a more efficient way to do that. And again, if the net positive is that we can find people that should be found and that are hiding from justice, if that's our net positive here, I mean, go look at stats all over the country right now. I think the number one reason is technology. Look at this. Look at crime rates. Look at murder rates in every city in the country right now. Safety is up everywhere. And for it to be everywhere, Republican cities, Democratic cities, East Coast, West Coast, for you to see that happening everywhere, what is the common denominator? I believe the common denominator is better crime fighting tools for our sworn officers to be able to solve crimes more efficiently. I firmly believe. Because what would the other common denominator be?
Well, National Guard deployment, obviously. Sorry. I couldn't resist. I couldn't resist.
But no, I think the common denominator in every city is technology gets better and crime fighting gets more efficient. And this is another example of that in our city. And here's what we know. We know that the number one issue every year, doesn't matter your party, doesn't matter your race, doesn't matter your age, in the city of Pensacola is that you want to be safe while you sleep. That's the number one goal. So we are fighting to improve that number one goal for everybody.
We got a couple of things that are going to be on next week's agenda. One is you're going to do a deal for pallet shelters with the Offensive Camp, which is great. I love that. And also with REAP. Is this not the first ones, is it? Is this the first ones?
It is. Welcome to procurement, a average procurement.
A year later.
With state laws, not with city ordinances, with state laws and everything else, you know, while we're looking at efficiencies, is about 132 days is how long a procurement takes, if everything goes well. And a lot of those stopgaps are put in place for a transparency reason, understandable.
Right. But
we're not any faster or any slower than state law and federal law provides on some of these, on some of these funding streams. But nonetheless, we are happy to have, these are the pallet shelters. I believe we have 70 going in at REAP and 13 going in at Offensive and potentially more. REAP also went and got grants for some of the site prep, which is not a qualified expense, in the $1 million of ARPA funding that you remember we reallocated. So, I mean, you're talking about having 80, places for unhoused to be able to live and to be able to try to get back on their feet. And so this is, our goal was, hey, a low barrier shelter was going to be a big bite at the apple that we all need to be at the table at as a business community, as a county, as a city. But this is something we could do now. So we're very excited to bring this forward and get these leases approved and start to improve some of those unhoused outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I thought this project was great from the beginning, and I'm glad to finally see some of them actually get deployed. Quick thing, we're starting to run out of time, but the Bay Bluffs Park is on the agenda for next week, part of the agreement, but also you guys are going to do what, some community engagement, listening tours kind of stuff?
Yeah, we don't have an exact date yet, but we are looking at mid-October. We're going to have kind of our first kickoff kind of listening session. The last thing we're really doing right between now and then is we're trying to get our consultant, kind of our design consultant on board. We obviously would love to have them at this meeting to hear all of these ideas. But I've after 8 months of waiting on the state and on DEP and on everybody else, I'm certainly appreciative that we've gotten the funding, but we've had such a long wait on this that I feel like the citizens deserve the ability, at least at the very beginning, to start talking about, you know, vision things, wish list things, start that conversation. So we're going to do that in mid-October, and we'll get you an exact date soon.
Reasonable expectation for when I might be able to go lawfully set foot inside the Bay Bluffs area?
It would be too early to speculate. I would think, you know, again, with this process, I would think probably end of 26, early 27. But that the reason it's variable is because what are we building?
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
Okay.
How complicated is the structure? If it's primitive trails, it may be pretty quick. If it's going to be more
build
structural type
yeah.
things that we end up going with, then that'll change it.
Oh, and by the way, not to go back, but just because I didn't ask the question, the plate reader cameras, they're in place. They're soon. They're months away.
They are not in place yet. Obviously, we're not going to disclose locations of where they're going to go exactly, but they are not fully in place yet. I think that's in process right now.
Okay. All right, cool. And I'll talk with PPD tomorrow, and, you know, they might be able to give more detail also.
Yeah, there you go.
We always like to end with a lightning round. Mayor D.C. Reeves, what was your first job, and how much did it pay?
You know, I always like talking about this. I was rolling silverware at Flounders, my first job in high school, to pay for my first car. So $6 an hour, no tips. When tip wage was $2.13. And then my second job was at the 9th and Airport location of Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, no, I know we share that really, one for sure.
Where I really carved my entrepreneurial spirit.
And probably in the post VHS era, it was all DVDs by the time you were there. Is that right?
Exactly. You paid more. You had both. You had both options.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Where exactly is your kitchen trash can located?
It's in a drawer. Thank goodness it's a double barrel. You know, it's just one of those drawers that you can pull out for recycling and for trash. Right. As a happy recycler here in the city of Pensacola.
Oh, the two sides.
That's very helpful for us.
I gotcha. And when you're going upstairs, are you going up one step at a time, two steps with each step, a half step, so it takes you two steps to get up one step? What's your stair approach?
Depends on if I'm late. I think if I'm in an outdoor staircase, like a football game, I'm double staring it. But I think, you know, I did turn 41, so I'm not trying to, I don't need a lower back injury going to the press conference or anything. So I take it easy here at home.
Well, you have the one excuse if you go up the stairs at City Hall, that big, long circular staircase. It's hard to get to because they're so wide. But, hey, I'm 54. I go two steps at a time. You can do it. Mayor D.C. Reeves.
Andrew, but if you hold the inside at just a little tip at City Hall, you know, because since it wraps around that
hole,
like a NASCAR, it's actually much easier. You know, it's a much shorter route to get up.
The inside lane is a faster trajectory. That's right. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy.
PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is brought to you by Rapid Radios. Rapid Radios are instant push-to-talk walkie-talkies with nationwide LTE coverage. For a limited time, get 60% off and free UPS shipping at rapidradios.com. Use code radio for an extra 5% off. Let's see here. So traffic is running a little bit heavy. US 98 westbound at Tiger Point from Avalon to about Kitty Hawk Drive. There's also a vehicle crash West Detroit Boulevard at Durand. They're saying the roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Candids, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
The state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Love electronics? Join the award-winning team at ADX Communications, home of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN 1330, and Pensacola's Playlist. We're looking for an experienced electronics technician who can keep our stations running smooth, from the studio to the transmitter tower. Competitive pay, great benefits, and a fun, fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Good morning, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. You're going to be late in 1 minute. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, victims of the late sex offender Jeffrey Epstein will be speaking out on Capitol Hill today. They'll be joined by Congressman Ro Khanna of California and Republican Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky. And Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is bracing for the incoming surge of federal agents and troops.
The city of Chicago can definitely use Trump's help to increase public safety.
When asked yesterday about the possibility of sending the National Guard to Chicago, Trump said, "We're going in, but I didn't say when."
I'm trying to decide if I picture him using more of like a horse stance or a bow and arrow stance or like maybe a cat stance. Maybe crane is his style.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP Golf.